If you would turn with me to Ephesians chapter 3, we're going to be looking at verses 14 to 20 this morning. I titled the message, God is Able, and I purposely didn't finish that this morning, and want you to finish the end of that sentence. And I wondered this morning, how would you finish that? God is able to meet your needs according to His riches and glory. God is able to change circumstances. God is able to change my attitude. God is able to grow the church. God is able to help me in my Sunday school class. God is able to help me with a rebellious child. God is able to help me with a miserable boss. God is able to help me. And how would you finish that this morning? And I guess if I took the time, we would all start popping up, and we all would have whatever is on our hearts. And you know, God is able to help my dream come to pass. All of these things. And this morning I challenge you. God is able to help me with my dream come to pass. And name it this morning. You know, to the Lord this morning, give that to Him and allow Him to be a part of that process. God is able to change the circumstance this morning. Give God that circumstance and allow Him to have an opportunity to minister to that. God can change my attitude. Give Him that bad attitude and whatever it is, and allow Him to do it. God can change so-and-so. Lift so-and-so up to the Lord and say, God, you know what? I've done all that I can. And so-and-so needs you, Lord, and only you can change so-and-so. I wonder if there's a birth certificate, so-and-so. This morning I'm gonna even challenge you that you're gonna find out a few things about yourself, maybe that you didn't know. Do you really believe that God can meet your needs?
Yes. Amen.
I mean, you know, it's easy to say, and you know, if I went around again, everybody would say, yeah, amen. And then you walk out, and then you start letting worry, you start letting things that you don't see in that circumstance happen. Maybe you're praying for a wife or a husband in a certain area of their lives, and you've done everything you know to do, and you don't see it, and you say, well, God, I know you can meet my needs, but how many are really going to be the ones that just dig right in and say, you know what, God, I'm not going to let go of your garment until you bless me, until you change that circumstance, until you change so-and-so, I'm going to keep lifting up so-and-so to you, and my question is, do you really believe that God is able to meet your needs? Or do you really believe that God wants to change circumstances and so-and-so? Do you really believe that God loves you enough that you're going to let Him be active in your life? See, because that's, you know, we think it's easy that we can look at another person and say, well, I can see God loves so-and-so. Or I can understand that God really cares about this person because they do this, and this, and they changed. But I'm asking you this morning, do you really believe that God cares and loves you enough this morning that He is going to be able to be active in your life and do what He needs to do? See, normal is what we do every day, isn't it? And that's why normal is going to be different for each one of us, because each one of us, our days are different. You know, what's normal for me is not going to be normal for you. And each thing is a little different. That's why it's not the same for each one of us. And I say this because we all do different things. We all have different expectations, and you know, we all have different things that need to happen in the course of a day. And you know, some of your days, I understand. I know that you're busy. I know that some of you are under stress. I know some of you need a lot of things to happen. But listen to me. For some of us, nothing happening is what we desire. Now hear me out here. For some, nothing happening would be a big amen. Because that's what you want. That's what you desire. We're okay with that. Now, for some others, if nothing would happen, that would bother us. And I guess I would fall into that category. Because if nothing happening, I would be discouraged, because I always want something to happen. Amen. I always want something to be changing, something to be happening. So for me, normal would not be nothing happening. Normal for me is something happening. I like the fast track. I like to be busy. I like to see what God's doing, and it changes. And I want to say this: life in a box. Now here we go. This is, you know, this, if you guys know me, this I say this all the time. Life in a box is not usually where God works. Now just humor me for a minute, like this is the first time you've ever heard this. Life in a box and putting your head in the sand is not normal for God. See, normal may be comfortable, but God doesn't usually work in normal. Because He can't get honor and glory. He can't change people's lives if we're all running in normal. It's kind of like the naive person that does the same thing repeatedly, wondering why there's no change. It really is. And we're all guilty of that. We do the same things, and then the outcome is the same, and then we blame God. Why is it the same? And God's saying, well, you can't keep doing that. You've got to do something different. You've got to make a change. You cannot, now hear me, you can write this down if you want. This ain't the part of the sermon that you know, you've got to take notes of it, but grab onto this. You can't put God in a box and expect God to stay there.
Amen.
There's no way. The scriptures are real clear that God is going to be God, and you can't put Him in a box or think you can throw a box over Him and He's going to stay put. God is always going to be doing something far above what we can do in ourselves and far above what we can think, and you can't. Now here's the other end of this, and some of us don't like this either. You can't live in that box, the created box that you've created. You can't live there and expect God to go beyond that. Because you make this perimeter, this is my box, this is my airspace, this is my life. And I'm not going to do anything different. This is my normal. And then expect God to do something within that box that you've created. He will always take you outside of it. Just to allow you to know that He's God and you're not. This morning, some of you may get a breakthrough. And somebody may get, you know, a breakup. somebody's going to just be the same. Some of you are going to go outside of that box and outside of that boundary today, and some of you are going to just, now you'll never admit this, but some of you will say, I like my airspace. I like what I've created here. It took me X amount of years to create this. I'm comfortable here. I like this. And right in this area, I'm familiar. And God's saying, if you're going to ever see me do something tremendous, it's going to be outside of this box.
Amen.
And, you know, some of the wonderful things that are happening in the life of the church is because here was the box. Now here's the playing field. And it becomes different and it becomes tremendous. I love it. And in time we'll share some things that God's doing. And if you don't get excited too, then you're going to be dead and I'm going to be pinching you, because it's good stuff. God is amazing. So anyways, you're either going to get a breakthrough or you're going to decide you're going to stay in your boundary and your little safe haven. And this morning you get to decide which it's going to be. See, I can't force you outside of that box. And no matter how many times I try to talk, and some of you I'm pushing, some of you I'm even going like this, I'm trying to get you out. Well, only you're going to be able to step out of that realm and allow God to do some of these things, and you get to decide. So, Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians 3, starting at verse 14. It's Paul praying for for the Ephesian church, and these are what he says. Verse 14. For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Father, as we go to your word, may it touch and minister to each one of our hearts. May we all be able to complete this sentence today as we leave. God is able to, and put what's needed, what we're desiring, what we would like to see happen. Because God, you are able to do far more than we can even imagine or think. You're able to do things that are way outside of our box. And I'm asking, Lord God, that this morning you would minister to each one of us in a very special way. Each one of us would broaden our horizons. Each one of us would expand our boundaries. Each one of us would take a new look at the God that we serve and take that box off. That, Lord God, you might be able to do tremendous things in each one of our lives, tremendous things in the life of our families and in our church. May you get honor and glory this morning in Jesus' precious name. Amen. This is Paul, and he's praying to the Ephesian church, and he's praying to the Ephesian people. And you know, I've taught this scripture before. It's one of my favorite verses. So, you know, you'll probably see it again, because what's amazing is every time I read that verse, whether I've read it one or 50 times in the course of a month, it's amazing. And it has to bring me back to reality that God is bigger than I am. That God is bigger than I can think. God can do more than I could ever imagine. And every time I read that scripture, it just illuminates that. It just shows me again that you know, what you can do in your strength is going to be limited. What you can do in the strength of the church is going to be limited if God isn't in it. And every time I look at that scripture, it brings me back. So like I said, I've taught this text before, but I hope you grab on to something new this morning, because grab this. God wants you out of your box. I mean that. God wants you out of your box, period. Verse 10 and 12 tells us what God intends to do through his people. He says this: his intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realm, according to his eternal purpose, which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. In him, and through him, and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. Now, let me shoot this out. And like I said, it's going to be different for each one of us. But for some of you, you're not dreaming big enough. Let me say that again. For some of you, you're not dreaming big enough. Because God is in this box, and you've got him in this box, and he wants to be out of this box. And as soon as you let him out of this box, he's going to do tremendous things. So some of you are not dreaming big enough. Now I say this tongue in cheek. Some of you are just dreamers. Did you get that? I say it in love. Some of us are not dreaming big enough because we're putting limits on God. And some of us are just dreamers. And I mean that some of us just allow our thoughts to run wild. And we're under the tree and we're getting all these thoughts, but that's where we remain, under the tree. We have all these dreaming things that we're going to do. All these dreaming things that we think God should do. And we're staying under the tree thinking about these things and never putting legs to it. And then we wonder why our dreams don't come true. And why we don't have the things happen that need to happen. And Some of us are just content. Some of us are just content and we're waiting. Now, that might fall into that category, a group of people that when nothing's happening, that's a perfect spot for them. But some of us are just content and we're waiting at the bus stop for Jesus to just sweep us off to heaven. That's where we're at. We're waiting at this bus stop and we're just saying, Jesus, come quickly. We're waiting for you. I'm saved. I'm not scared to die. I'm ready to go. And you're waiting for that Jesus bus to just come and sweep you off your feet. And you're just content sitting there. I want you to think about a few things this morning. There's some areas of our lives, and I've called it kind of the three B's this morning. Three areas of our life that really is going to be helpful in our kingdom journey. In making a difference as we set out to do the things that God's called us to do and wants us to do. And like I said, I'm having trouble getting this apart here. the three B's, and here it is. If you want to write this down, we're going to touch each one just a little bit for a moment. The three B's is this: believe, belong, and become. It fits all areas of our life, and each one plays a factor. You know, where's your faith? Who do you belong to? And what do you want to become? And where does God fit in this? So for just a moment, just humor me. Number one is believe. Now write this down. Number one is be believe. Belief is a funny thing, isn't it? Isn't it? Belief is a funny thing because you really don't know you have it until you have to exercise it. And then you find out where you're at. You know, most people find out what they believe and how well they believe and where their strengths and their weaknesses is when they go through a trial. Then they find out, wow, my faith isn't really as strong as I thought it was. Wow, this test that I'm going through really beat me up a little more than I thought. So really, faith is really kind of a funny thing. Our belief is kind of a funny thing because once it's exercised, once you're in a circumstance, that's really find out where you're at. Then, you know, because your faith is going to get tested in a trial. That's why the Lord allows that to happen, to allow us to know where we're at. Your faith is going to be strengthened or weakened by how you react, what you do and what you say and how you react in that circumstance. And contrary to belief, I can't give you faith.
Amen.
I can love the Lord with all my heart. I can stand up here and spit scriptures at you. I can walk fast and prance and go up and down the aisles and everything else. But I can't give you faith. God gives us faith.
Amen.
God builds on the faith that we have, and we got to give Him what we have. Mark chapter 8 talks about Jesus feeding all these people in a field. I love that verse. Thousands of people are in this field, and they haven't eaten for days. And the disciples want to send them packing. Send them home, Jesus. There's no way we can feed all of these people. Jesus doesn't want to do that. Contrary to all what the disciples are telling him, he wants to feed them. He wants to minister to them. And paraphrased, if I could, in verse 5, he basically goes, what do we have? Isn't that right? What do we have? And all of a sudden, one of the disciples say, well, hey, we got loaves of bread and we got two fish. Great. Have them sit down. And can you imagine the face of the disciples? What? Holding this little boy's lunch as they're looking at thousands of people sitting there. Jesus tells them, get the bag. I love it. Get the bag. Yeah. Have the crowd sit down. Praise over the food. Now go distribute it.
Amen.
And of course, all of them were fed. And all of them were satisfied. It tells us that there was extra.
Amen.
And my question to you this morning is, do you believe that? Do you believe it with all your heart? Is your God that big? And can you see God that big working in your life? Luke chapter 5 talks about a man with leprosy falling down on the face in front of Jesus Christ, yelling, saying, Lord, I'm unclean. Are you willing? Are you willing to heal me? Are you willing to touch me? And I want to ask ask you this morning, do you have enough faith? Do you have enough faith to fall flat on your face before Jesus and ask Him to touch and heal you in certain areas of your life? And are you willing and able to believe that the God that you serve will say yes and touch and heal you? I am willing. That's what Jesus said. I am willing. Be clean. Is that your God this morning? Is that the God that you serve? God takes, listen to me, God takes what we have and what we make available to Him and then multiplies and blesses and uses. That's what He did with the loaves and the fish. He used what we had to show that He's God and multiplied it and blessed it and used it for His honor and glory. And that's what I'm asking you. Do you believe in that God? Do you believe in God? Good. Good. Do you believe that God believes in you also? That's the other side of it. Do you believe that God believes in you and wants to use you and wants to see His honor and glory done through you? Now, a little test for you. Do you believe that I can stick my head through that circle? Do you believe that I can stick my head through that circle? I think I can. I think I can. And here's the point. What seems impossible for us, God gives us answers. It all depends on how you're going to look at it. It all depends on if God's going to give you the answer to that. What seems impossible, God can find a way. And that's what the Apostle Paul is praying here. What he's praying here and what he's trying to say to this body of believers in this church, he's telling them that he's praying that God would strengthen us with the power of the Holy Spirit working in our lives and that we would grasp the love that God has for each and every one of us. And that each and every one of us would understand that God is God and that He is able to do far more than what we can think or imagine according to His power, what? That is at work within us. He does it by the three B's. By believing, by belonging, and by becoming. And with God, all things are possible. With God, you get more. I love that. In a time that everything's new and improved and usually the box is shortened and smaller quantity, with God you will always get more. And the object of faith, if you don't remember anything about faith this morning, the object of faith is to take God at His word and grab onto that. So number one is believe. Number two is belong. Each one of us, inside of us, is a belief and a longing to belong to something that is bigger than us. You could either say amen or you're lying. Because in every one of us is a desire to be a part of something that is bigger than we are, and nothing else that gives us security to be in with something bigger than we are. And we all know that we have limits, whether you want to admit them or not. And in Paul's prayer, he wants us to know the depth of God's love. What? That we would belong to Him. If we would understand how much God loves us, how much He desires to be a part of our lives, that we would belong to Him. And for some that struggle every day, whether they belong to the family of God or not, and God's trying to say, you know what? I'm trying to tell you how much I love you, and you belong to me. Now that comes with responsibility, so you know we can have our debate of where and when that stops. But you must believe that God loves you and wants you to be a part of the family of God, wants you to belong, and that God is crazy about you. I've said this before. But God is crazy about you. The world may think you're just crazy, but God is crazy about you, and desires to build a relationship that goes beyond what you can even imagine. And whatever your fears are, and this is where we go wrong sometimes, whatever your fears are, and maybe with past human relations that you have, you can't imagine that God could love you deeper than that. But He does. He loves you more than any human love can ever go. And the church is a way of belonging. Now here's where I hope that you grab onto this morning. And I want you to know that Mike in his Sunday school class hit the target again. And so if you're missing Sunday school, it's almost becoming the pre-sermon time to get some of the scriptures ahead of time to discuss some of the things that are going on because he hit the spot. He hit the mark on what God is trying to say. And we're talking about the church and belonging and being a part of something bigger than you are. You know, you become, once you're a part of the church, you become part of the body of Christ and you're not part of somebody that's just visiting. You become to be an active member. You become to be a part of something that's bigger than you are. The church is a way to stay connected. Now listen to me. You disconnect yourself from the church, you're going to be disconnected in your relationship with God. Now that doesn't mean that, you know, you necessarily have to come here, though I hope you do and continue to come here. But what I'm saying is when you disconnect from the church, you by nature will disconnect and struggle with your walk with the Lord. You will, that relationship will be disconnected because you need the body of Christ. You need fellowship with each other. And the church is more than just a social group. It's not just a place to catch up on the latest news of what's happening in people's lives and in the family. It's a place where we need church and we need each other. I need church and you need church. You need fellowship. You need to sit under the Word of God. And I love it. Mike used an acronym? Acronym. Busy. Being under Satan's yoke. I loved it. There was a reason that he said it this morning because I believe it fits. We get so busy. We get so disconnected. And then we don't even realize sometimes we're struggling and we're going away. We need the church. The church needs us. It will affect the way that our lives are where we're going to walk, how we're going to walk. The church is where healings take place. Some of you need a healing. Sunday you missed may be the time that God wanted to touch and minister to you. And don't get me wrong. I'm not saying we don't need vacations and everything else. But what I'm saying is the body of Christ is getting together. It's where we see healings. It's where the unsaved find salvation. It's where the saints of God lift up their praise to the Lord. It's where we're ministered to. It's where we draw strength from the Lord. It's where we become more like Christ. We need the church. No matter what society says, I can do it without. We need the church and we need the Lord and we need all of the family. But I'll say this too, and all this part of belonging, but just like every other family, we're not perfect. God is. So if you're coming to feel like you need to belong, it's kind of like your own family. There's some areas that we need some work in, but you don't disown your family. You don't disconnect from your family because of something somebody said in ignorance or something that was said in misunderstanding. We need to belong. We need to forgive. We need to be apart. We need to love each other like you know what? I may not like what was said, but we're going to get past this. We're going to work for resolution rather than misguiding. And the last thing is number three, becoming. So we're believing, we're looking at you know how we're going to trust the Lord. We're belonging, we need each other, we need the church, we need the camaraderie of church members coming together. We need to realize that we're not all perfect. We can start with ourselves, and we need to belong. And the third part is become. Strengthened by the Holy Spirit. Paul's telling us that we need to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. We need to be strengthened by the Holy Spirit. We need God dwelling within us. And Paul's telling us when we allow that to happen, God begins to tell us who we can become. See, because we become more than what we were, because the Spirit of God dwells within us. We belong to the family of God, and we become more Christ-like the more we spend our time with the Lord. And Paul's basically saying, I'm a sinner, I'm corrupt, and I'm carnal. But God changes me, and is continuing to change me inward through the power of the Holy Spirit working in our lives. Revelation 3:20 says, Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come to him and will dine with him and he with me. Often we quote this as an evangelistic, oh, Jesus is knocking at your door. You get one opportunity. But I want you to know it's more than that. Because in Revelation 3:20, Jesus is knocking on the door of the Laodicean church. A church that is lukewarm. And he's saying, Let me in. Don't forget about me. In your busyness, don't forget about me. See, we're all in a journey. See, and here's what some people that haven't come to Christ and some people that are journeying and they don't quite understand it and sometimes as people in the church we miss out on this too. See, we're all journeying. We're all journeying and we're all at different spots. So it's not my job to look at someone else and critique where they're at in their journey. And we're all in different spots. We're all journeying with Christ. We're all on different levels of that. But we should all become what? More Christ-like. We all may be at different levels. We all may not have arrived at the level of the person next to us, but we all should be journeying towards becoming more like Christ and thankful for what God is doing in our lives. In all of our lives, right after we've accepted Christ, there should begin to be a change. Old things should begin to pass. Now, are we all going to be at the same place? No, of course not. I would hope that a Christian of 30 years is not at the same spot that a Christian of 1 year is. But we should all be allowing the old things to pass away and allow God to do some new things in our lives and allow us to all be more Christ-like. See, the truth with Christianity is this. It starts with faith. That's the whole thrust of Christianity, faith in Jesus Christ. It starts with faith, but then our faith grows as we follow Christ. Then we begin able to do things more than what we thought we could. That's when we begin to see God working in our lives. So let me just wind this down. God is able to strengthen us with the power through the Holy Spirit. God is able to show us the love of God in our lives. And God is able to empower us to live the lives that He intends for us to live. And He does it by believing, by putting our trust in Him, by belonging and being a part of the church family, a part of the body of Christ, not just visiting, but an active member. And number three, becoming God and allowing God to change us from who we were to who He wants to be. And there again, that's going to be different for every one of us. Now let me read verse 20 again. Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work within us, to Him be glory in the church and in Jesus Christ throughout all generations forever and ever. Did you get that? God is able to exceedingly, abundantly, beyond all that we ask or think, do in our lives. And my question for you is, what are you praying for? What are you praying for? What do you want to see God do in your life? The words tell us, I say to you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it shall be opened. And I want to ask you, is your dream too small? If it is, let the Lord lead you in the right direction. You know, is God your God, or the presumed God that you're trying to make your God, is He in a box? And if He is, yank that box off. Yank the box off. The other side of that, are you trusting the Lord fully in your life? See, I asked that question before, you know, do you believe God cares for you? Do you believe God can meet all your needs? And we said, we all went, yeah, 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 amen, yes. And my question is, are you trusting the Lord fully in your life? And the last question I have for you, are you ready for change? And hold on if you are. Hold on if you are. Because God wants to do tremendous things. I'm excited. Even when nothing seems like it's happening, and we go, and just me, right? I'm talking to myself. There's times where we seem like nothing is happening. I guarantee God's doing something, even when we think nothing is happening. And then later on we find out that God was busy and taking care of everything that we were worrying about and all these other things. So that's where I'm going to leave this morning. You know, get God out of the box if you have him in the box. If you're dreaming too small, dream big. If God did give you a vision, then work it. And this morning, for those that just need to know, God loves you. He is crazy about you. And he is able to meet those needs that you have if you give it to him. But sometimes we just pray and we shoot things too small. We say things that to the average person would think that we got it all under control. And really God's going, you're not there yet. We're not there yet. So that's my prayer this morning. And it's where you're at. And it's going to be different for each one of us. But allow God to do in our lives what he needs to do, and then you'll be able to finish that sentence. God is able with a testimony. Father, we thank you for your goodness. I pray, Lord Jesus, that each one of us would receive what you have for us. Each one of us, Lord God, would take you outside of this pre-made box that we put you in, that each one of us would catch a glimpse of what you want to do through us, that each one of us would allow you to empower us by the Holy Spirit working in our lives, and then we would be able to finish this sentence. God, you are able with a testimony of your goodness, with a testimony of what you're doing.